The 100 Years' War. The Interim Period, 1340-1345. Philip marches against John de Montfort. In the last days of September, 1341, the French army gathered at Angers, about 50 miles from the Breton border. At least there were unreliable estimates that there were about 5,000 French troops, about 2,000 Genoese, and those were drawn generally from the galley crews that were still in France, and they had a powerful siege train of artillery. The army was commanded by the king's son, John, the Duke of Normandy, but he was clearly supervised by the king's closest confidants, the minister Millet de Noyers and Philip's brother-in-law, the Duke of Burgundy. Philip VI's instructions to his son were profoundly revealing of this cautious, troubled man. First of all, John was told that he was just simply not to take any risks. Second, do not attack a town unless reconnaissance has shown that it could be taken quickly. And third, if the opportunity arose to avoid war by compromise, then it was to be taken. Philip VI was prepared to see Jean de Montfort generously compensated with land in other parts of France, and even was willing to guarantee him the succession to Brittany if Jean de Pethier should die without heirs. The main goal was simply to keep England out of Brittany. The original plan was to immediately march on Venise, which was the closest port of any importance to Nantes and an obvious landing place for the English army. However, that plan was quickly abandoned, mainly because it involved penetrating deeply in the Burgundy, or should say in the Brittany, which left de Montfort's troop at Nantes and Rennes to harass the French army lines of communication. John had learned that lesson from the previous fighting in Hainault. So the French army's first target was Chanteuil-sur, which was always the first obstacle an invader from the Loire Valley must meet. It was garrisoned by de Montfort's mercenaries under the command of some Germans from Lorraine. At the beginning of October 1341, Charles of Blois left Angers with the French advance guard and put Chanteuil under siege by October the 10th. The main French army followed on October the 14th. Some of the dignitaries with the Dauphin John included the Duke of Burgundy, the Duke of Bourbon, the Count of Alençon, which was Philip's brother, the Constable of France, the Marshals of the Army, and the Admiral of the French Fleet. So John had just about the cream of the crop of the French military with him, so things shouldn't have gone too badly for him, and they, of course, will not. John de Montfort made a bold attempt to relieve the siege with completely inadequate forces. He led his troops from Nantes to Léomain, which was a fortified farmhouse, which was 3 miles away from French forces. When he arrived, he was surprised to find it occupied by Charles of Blois and his men. De Montfort almost captured Charles, but after 2 days of fighting, de Montfort was forced to retreat, and then Chanteuil fell on October the 26th, 1341. This was the turning point of the campaign. De Montfort took flight to Nantes, and by the end of October, John and the French army were outside of that city. Nantes should have resisted for a very long time, but its citizens, that shall we say, were not interested in doing much defending. When the French took the outlying castles at Nantes, the POWs were actually beheaded in front of the main city walls. The citizens now refused to fight, but were persuaded to support de Montfort for 1 month. If reinforcements did not arrive in that month, he, de Montfort, would flee the city. Ultimately, John de Montfort went to the French camp and surrendered Nantes to Charles of Blois on November the 2nd, 1341. The siege had lasted about a week. John the Dauphin offered de Montfort the prospects of negotiating with Philip VI and perhaps some compromise. But first thing he had to do was surrender all of his garrisons in Brittany to King Philip VI. Second, he was given safe conduct to Paris and back again. Always ask for the back again. Never go in one way. Get your round-trip ticket on these things. De Montfort and John the Dauphin left for Paris at the end of December, and a deal was negotiated. De Montfort renounced his claim to Brittany and would receive a pension and a grant of land in France. Well, De Montfort ended up refusing that deal. So Philip VI, repudiated his safe conduct, so much for getting your round-trip ticket, and ordered him imprisoned in the Louvre. Most of John de Montfort's captains submitted to Charles of Blois during January of 1342, and of course received royal pardons. You know, by February, Charles of Blois had control of all of the French-speaking regions of eastern Brittany, except for Rennes. And you would think that this pretty much guaranteed that this was all over. Well, not quite. The Count may be locked up in the Louvre, but the Countess is still on the loose. And his wife is a formidable woman, and she will now take up his cause and try to hold on to the western half of Brittany, as well as doing her very best to bring England into the war on her side. So that's where we're headed at that next time. Now, the sources for this, of course, are the Hundred Years' War by Perouin, the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, and the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, The Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us, which you can do by making a little monthly subscription. Thank you very much.